Good evening, and welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and this evening I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. Good evening, Shireen.
Good evening, Dan.
Tonight we're talking about effective decision-making. That's something I suspect all of us need to do a little bit better, maybe.
Me included. In case you had any illusions that I was perfect.
I was hoping you were going to tell me the absolute essence. So, first of all, what are some of the ways that we need to be more effective in our day-to-day, our small decisions, but particularly in our big life decisions? How do we do that?
You know, for me, sometimes if I have to make an important decision, sometimes I actually wait for a month or so.
Wow.
Because I want to come at it from a place of silence.
So when you're deciding which way to go home from work, that must take a long time. No, that's not what we're talking about.
No, if it's important decisions and if it's decisions involving a lot of people.
So in that, are you churning the information? Or are you letting it incubate? Or are you just waiting till you're in that?
No, what I do is I go into silence and I surrender my thoughts to God. Mm-hmm. And I wait for Him to give me an answer.
Yeah. On a more left-brained approach, a more business-oriented approach, one of my rules of thumb is similar to that, though I normally don't have a month or two, but I'm not making the same types of decisions you are, that I try to never make a decision when I'm in a low mood. In other words, if
it's very
upset,
yeah,
or sad or disappointed, angry, then I can normally pull out of that with a short amount of time.
Right, right.
But in those things, I realize that I am likely not to make a good decision regardless of the data in front of me, regardless of my knowing pretty much what I you know, want to accomplish in the big picture. So what about for the small everyday decisions like, well, it's not what you're going to wear. You always wear pretty much the same thing.
For exactly that particular reason.
Ah, it frees you up to make other
decisions. Yes.
Well, I don't dress like this except when we're together, so normally it's a polo shirt. So within that, though, what about the intermediate decisions? You know, what's tomorrow's lesson plans at your Brahma Kumari Center, things like that? Do they come pretty quickly, and how do you set that up?
You know, I feel that if we use our time and our thoughts in a worthwhile way, these decisions come naturally.
So you're going with the flow of sorts, but it's the flow in a very definite direction.
Yes. Also, it comes from the wisdom of doing things the right way for a long period of time.
Aha.
And also, it comes from experience of not doing things by not using my time effectively and seeing the consequences of those.
Yeah. So there's a semantic distinction I want to make here, because you said doing things the right way, but there's also the decision, which often in business we need to make, and that is doing the right thing. So it's not just doing the thing the right way, but figuring out what is the best for all concerned.
Right, exactly. That's what I meant. I'm sorry about the thing. Yeah,
okay,
that's
so
what
that's
I meant.
Where you were going
right,
with that.
That
yeah.
For me, right is not about
technique
and all of that. Right is about what can benefit the maximum number of people.
Yeah. So one of those things is then, I think, for good decision making is we really have to have, from a value standpoint, a very clear sense of our values. In other words, there are certain things that I absolutely feel are essential.
Right.
Honesty, integrity, balance, being of good spirit and goodwill. I would assume we'd agree on those.
Yeah, right. I agree. And also, actually, for me, I feel more, yes, all of those.
Yeah.
All of those are important. But one essential thing for decision making is love.
Ah.
And if I'm loveful, and especially if I'm dealing with people, because I'm dealing with people a lot, and I feel love makes the right decisions.
Exactly. I agree with that. And that is also, there's another distinction in there, and that is when we are the decision makers, the key is that it's our duty to be loving. It is not our duty to have the others love us in our decision.
You're right.
Because that's a trap of itself.
Right. You know, it's interesting because, yes, you don't want the other person to love you. Mm-hmm. But also, you don't want to keep encouraging the same behavior patterns from the other person, too.
Ah, elaborate on that one.
For example, I could be loving, and mm-hmm. I can be doing things, and doing a lot of things for someone. But it's not always the most effective decision in the situation because I could be enabling or encouraging a particular kind of pattern of behavior from the other person.
Right. So loving behavior to one person with a particular behavior pattern may be a completely different thing than how you behave to another person with the
exactly.
same behavior.
Exactly. Yes, so it might be tough love sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's important because it's more important that we don't enable.
Yeah.
Then we love people just blindly.
Yeah. Well, I believe, and I certainly have noticed this in, with my own children and certainly with my university students, I think everybody wants some level of structure in to say, okay, this is an appropriate way. This is the direction that's up. And so having some structure is important to say, yeah, here's how we know we're out of bounds.
Right.
This is the edge of the playing field. So within that, with the decision then, I guess we have to have values, a moral compass of sorts to go with that. We need to take the time to make decisions, but my personal bias is if it's a decision I know, I'm not talking about getting in the right space to make a decision, but a lot of times just going over the same data again
it's not going to do it. I really feel that's something we have to, you know, like we spin around the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like a broken record. Our mind keeps spinning around the
yeah.
same thing. I feel the mind has a tendency to do that,
right.
to spin around things. And so I always feel that in meditation, I make the mind spin. But I make it spin around generative things.
Ah.
I don't let it sit. Like in any of my meditations, especially if I have to make a decision, I don't just sit in love, or I don't
yeah.
just experience love, or I just don't experience God's peace. I start thinking of a few different things. I keep moving the mind, because the mind wants to move, but I move it in a more generative fashion.
Yeah, and this generative fashion isn't running through the drama. It is. It's almost opening to
another. Yeah, another thing. Not about the same thing, but you know, I wouldn't just sit in peace. I would sit in peace, sit in love, sit
yeah.
in bliss, like that. And within a minute, I would go through all of those different feelings.
Yeah, that's good. I run through 21 values in a similar sense that it almost becomes.
A spin.
Yeah, it is a spin.
Because the mind tends to spin a lot around negative things, and that's just the nature of the mind.
Yeah.
You know, because we're used to doing that for so long. And so we have to kind of trick it to do something else. It's spin it. Spin
mm-hmm.
it, but spin it in another way.
Good, good. So within the decision making, when you're in the right space, and then you put it out in that way, then typically you're happy with the decision.
Yeah, you know, if I'm able to really, in like few minutes, if I'm able to sit in really deep silence and really
mm-hmm.
make the mind very silent and really surrender myself, I feel many times the decision comes out right. And actually, I have to confess to something.
Uh-huh.
I sit in that state and other people around me make the right decisions.
Ah.
So that I don't have to, if I have to be the bad cop, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so the other person makes the decision and I don't have to go in that
yeah.
direction.
Well, you know, in a funny way, if you have the spirit of helping the organization, not everyone sees the same direction as important, but having that good heart, you know, that love for the getting to the proper outcome, I think, is a real important.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and also to make sure, for me, an effective decision is that people benefit from it.
Yeah.
It's not just I benefit.
Absolutely.
That people benefit from it.
So within this, once you know or pretty certain this is the right choice, a certain level of faith may be.
Yes, I feel it's very true. In faith and in peace, the right decisions just come.
Uh-huh.
Whether it comes from you or someone else, in faith and in peace, the right decisions just come.
So I know that some people, particularly in gambling situations, are absolutely certain they're going to win, and that's not faith, that's more delusion.
You know, it's interestingly enough, the Hindi word for faith, the connotation is a decision.
Ah.
Nischay, which is a decision.
So the decision is the faith that it's a good decision.
Yes. Or when we talk about faith, we talk about having faith in your eternal self, having faith in God, not faith in random events around the world or things like that, but faith in the eternal identity of who you are, in the eternal identity of God. So it's a different context for faith.
Well, that sort of answers my question then, because the difference in faith as you use it is more universal, where the delusion would be ego-based.
Right.
Here's what I get out of this, as opposed to becoming more one with the flow of all good.
Right, right. You know, it reminds me of a story in Indian mythology. There's a story. It could be true, I don't know, but it's a story. There was a king, Vikramajit, which means the conqueror of sinful actions. But anyway, the name means the conqueror of sinful actions. But so this king was a very well-known king, and many people around used to come to him for decisions. But he was able to make decisions because he had a magical throne. He was able to, when he sat on the throne, he was able to make the right decisions. So any time anyone came to him, and especially with the kingdom, if he had to make a decision, he just used to go sit on the throne, and then the right decisions used to come to him.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel in the same way that we have also a self-sovereignty, a throne, and that throne could be of love, that throne is of respect, that throne is of sitting in the true self. And then the right decisions will come.
So it's like we often can have our little sub-selves of selfishness in an area or something like that. That's not being on the throne when we're more in the selfless mode.
Right.
Now, of course, some of the decisions make, but I want what I want. I want my team to win. I don't want their team to win, or whatever the thing is. But that's really not, in the big picture, that can be drama in the short term. But that's not really where we're going with
decisions. No, right. I don't watch sports, so it's just totally out of my realm.
Then we won't go to sports.
No. The other, one of the things I was thinking is, even if my team did lose, is whatever happens is beneficial. And that is actually not just a decision. It's not just my faith. It's my experience.
Yeah. Actually, there's lots of sports metaphors that show that when a team had a really awful defeat, that was the turning point to realizing they had to build better teamwork. They had to restructure their approach to the game, etc. So that really does go, in spite of your not being a sports person, that does match with much of it. But if we spend time beating ourselves up about a decision that apparently didn't work well, then we're really losing, you know, we already paid the tuition, we might as well get the education from the bad experience.
Right, right.
So in that, decision-making then isn't just making the decision, it is accepting the feedback and then adjusting with it to the next level.
Right.
So do you find you ever make mistakes when you think you made a good decision?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But even though I think so, I come back to this, everything is beneficial.
Yeah, so even if there was a mistake, there's a learning that makes you stronger. You just reminded me of the original head of IBM many years ago, and the stories as old as that, many, many years ago, had a young executive who made a bad decision along the way and was called into Tom Watson's office. And he said, you know, what happened? And he told him, what did you learn? He told him. He said, okay. And as the young man's about to leave, he said, you mean I'm not fired? I cost you $1 million with this bad decision. And Watson says, fire you? I just spent $1 million on your education. So in that sense, what he was seeing is, even though it appears bad, you now will be wiser to head in the new direction.
Right, there. And I feel also an effective decision is not about being, like you mentioned in the beginning, not about being good, bad or good, or right or wrong, but an effective decision for me is the way I would see is that, did I make it from love?
Aha.
If I made it from love, whatever the outcome,
right,
it's okay.
So if I make it from love, then I know that I am in the very best place to learn from it, regardless of outcome. And my heart is in a place to where others can resonate and say, okay, yeah, this wasn't what I had in mind, but yeah, this, I can live with this. Or I can move from it, if the case may be. So any last minute wrap-up on how you know you have made a good decision when you're looking back?
If I feel my time was spent worthwhile.
Okay.
If I feel, that's how I would know. If I feel I've learned something,
yeah.
If I feel like people have benefited from it, then I know it's a good decision.
And you feel a peace around it, as opposed to you're justifying it logically or not?
Not necessarily, sometimes. Okay. I don't feel peaceful about it because, you know, sometimes this whole journey of self-progress is not that peaceful.
Uh-huh.
A lot of stuff comes out. And so, but as if yeah. I know that people have benefited, then I know it's okay.
All right. Well, then I'll take that, because just as we don't increase muscle strength without some tearing of fiber in our muscles, sometimes even good decisions stretch us to ways that is not totally comfortable. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you for joining us tonight. Good evening.